From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've decided to be with us today. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from God's Holy Word, as well as some sacred music that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message from the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, which reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as the Great Heart Specialist. As we'll see, Christ knows the hearts of both saints and sinners, and he emphasizes that true religion is not concerned with empty ritual, but with a genuine heart relationship with God. October is Reformation Month, and Dr. Cairns is using his hot topics to call attention to what true Protestant Christians stand for. Today he shows that the Immaculate Conception is a gross deception.
Some Protestants who know no better imagine that the Immaculate Conception is the description that the Church of Rome gives to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His was indeed an Immaculate Conception, a conception and birth totally without sin. But when Rome uses this term, she has an entirely different birth in mind. According to Pope Pius IX, the Immaculate Conception is a doctrine revealed by God that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born without sin. Here is the papal decree that established this dogma as a doctrine to be believed on peril of losing your soul. I quote, "We declare, pronounce, and define that the most blessed Virgin Mary, at the first instant of her conception, was preserved immaculate from all stain of original sin by the singular grace and privilege of the omnipotent God, in virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of mankind, and that this doctrine was revealed by God, and therefore must be firmly and constantly believed by all the faithful." End the quote. This is what Rome means by the Immaculate Conception. Mary was conceived and born entirely without sin. According to the Pope, when he established it as official dogma in 1864, this is a doctrine revealed by God. Where, you may ask, is it revealed by God? Certainly not in the Scriptures, where Mary rejoiced in God my Saviour. Only sinners need a Saviour, and Mary needed a Saviour. Ergo, Mary was a sinner. The dogma was unknown in the early church, and indeed for centuries after Mary's death. Augustine, whom Rome pretends to revere as one of the greatest of all theologians and one of her saints, spoke of Mary's flesh as, quotes, "the flesh of sin." And he stated that Mary, springing from Adam, died because of sin. So, where did God reveal that Mary was conceived without sin? The Pope claims that God revealed it in the tradition of the Church, which the Pope officially recognized in 1864. Of course, since it was unknown in the early Church, the dogma of Mary's Immaculate Conception was not a divine revelation at all, but a human innovation. Rome espouses this dogma because she has evolved an entirely anti-Christian system of Mariology and indeed Mariolatry. Not content with decreeing that she was born without sin, a later pope, Pius XII, decreed in 1950 that she had been assumed bodily into heaven. It appears that in every possible detail, Rome is determined to create in Mary a replica of the Saviour, making her his equal in a sinless birth and a bodily ascension into heaven. But it's all a gross deception. The Pope has absolutely no right to establish Christian doctrine. To assert otherwise is to brand him as an antichrist. There is only one who was born without sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is emphatically called the Holy One, the Righteous One, and the Just One. Mary was a good and great woman, but she needed to be saved from her sin, and praise God she was. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, needed no sacrifice for sin, for he was sinless, and being sinless, he wrought a perfect obedience in life and in death to expiate the guilt of our sin and propitiate God's wrath against it. As I said, the Immaculate Conception is a gross deception. Mary was born in sin. She was saved from sin. She died and was buried. Her body corrupted like everybody else's. She is utterly incapable of doing anything to save or help sinners. Only God's Christ can do that.
Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Religion generally doesn't want to get involved with the heart. This is why we're hearing constantly the misquotation and misapplication of Matthew 7 when Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And almost every week you'll read some clown writing to the newspaper saying, "The Bible says we're not to judge. Don't tell me sodomites are living wrong. Don't tell me adultery's living wrong living. We're not to judge." A greater perversion of the Bible would be hard to envisage. Why is this? It's because people generally, and that means you and I by nature, are happy for that which strokes the surface. But the Lord Jesus deals with the heart. And He's speaking as the great heart specialist. And today what I want us to do is to come in to the surgery, into the office of the great heart specialist, and hear what he has to say to us. Now when you read these words of Christ, you discover he's teaching a very straightforward but a very major doctrine. Knowing the hearts of saints and sinners, the Lord Jesus shows in the most radical terms that true religion is not concerned with empty ritual, but it deals with the natural corruption of the heart, and that leads man to a genuine heart relationship with God. That's the doctrine. True religion is never satisfied with ritual, with externals, or with surface things, with appearance. True religion deals with the corruption of the heart. And true religion leads to a genuine heart relationship with God. That's what Christ is teaching here. Now, as he teaches it, we may state three things. And I might even be brief, believe it or not. First, he knows the hearts of his people. And he does not condemn them. Verses 1 to 3 tell us how the Pharisees came condemning the disciples in order to get at Christ. But when Jesus looks at this complaint, he takes the very opposite line, and indeed he finishes what he has to say: to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. He would not condemn them. I have mentioned Alfred Edersheim. Edersheim believed, to me somewhat strangely, that Christ did not defend the actions of his disciples here. I think he did. According to Edersheim, it was a matter of indifference to Christ whether people washed or whether they didn't wash. But given the background, given that this was just part of a whole rotten, devil-inspired traditionalism that blasphemed God, I don't think Christ was in the slightest bit indifferent. Obviously, in itself, whether you sprinkle water in your hands before you eat or whether you don't is a matter of indifference. But this is not in itself. This is part of the tradition of the elders. Certainly it was not a matter of little consequence to Christ when the Pharisees used what we may even call matters of indifference and tradition to condemn the people of God. To Christ, they had crossed the line. And so he came to his disciples' defense, and he showed that the tradition that condemned them was at its root just dead religion. I want you to get that. When a man's heart is right with God, when a sinner has been justified by grace through faith, when he has been accepted on the merits of Christ and washed in the blood of the Lamb, then Jesus says to that one, as he said to the woman whom the Pharisees were also condemning and seeking to have him condemned, "Neither do I condemn thee." Man, what a comfort in a world that hates Christians. What a comfort in a day and an age when the devil is using everything, it seems, in the press, in the political world, in the judicial world, in the entertainment world, using all at his disposal to rise up and to malign and to condemn the people of God. The Son of God comes along and says, "You're a believer in Christ, you're washed in my blood, you're redeemed by my grace, and I do not condemn you." What a comfort. And further than that, we can go and say, "Let them curse, but bless thou." If I have to choose between the curse of man with the blessing of God and the blessing of man with the curse of God, it doesn't take me to have much brains to know where my choice lies. I will gladly say, "Let them curse. Let them curse. What does it matter?" I think sometimes we as Christians get far too worried about the opinions of the world. Far too worried. Now, I'm going to tread on some toes here. This worries me particularly about Christian young people. Worries me that you're that spineless. Spineless. That you have to look the way some drug-infested, drunken, adulterous rock star wants you to look. Now, I was young too. When I was young, we had our rock stars. Believe it or not, we had our rock stars. There was a way to dress. And if you were going to be with it, that's the way you dressed. Some of you will remember when Reggie Cranston, the minister from Port Hope, was here. He gave his testimony. And he used some Ulsterisms that people hadn't a clue about whatsoever. He talked about being dressed in drain pipes. And you never heard of those? It was the style of the pant leg, the trouser leg. He talked about his teddy boy outfit. That again was especially the style of the pants and then of the coat. It was a special kind of tie you wore. This was the way to look like you were with it. And there was pressure. Everybody else was doing it. You know, I had no money. But if you had paid me £1,000 a day, I wouldn't have worn that stuff. When the Beatles came along with their mop brush or their, you know, the mop hairstyle they had, of course they look now like lawyers and businessmen compared to the, well, we'll not get into the description of what we have today, but when they came along, that's the way young people looked. Why would I worry about looking like a bunch of rock stars who were so hellish and vile that their own anti-Christian manager had to say, "I am anti-Christ, but these four fellas are so anti-Christ that they scare even me." Why would a Christian want to look like them, smell like them, or be with them? Tell me. I don't know. But there were spineless young people who did look like them. They listened to their music. And they got more spineless. And they lost out with God. Now I'm going to be straight down the line with you. I'm talking to young people, but I'm talking to a whole lot more than young people. Some of the biggest idiots I see running around are middle-aged people that have forgotten that they're not young people anymore. I would laugh at these people that can't grow a hair in the top of their head, but they've a ponytail down to their waist, still thinking that they're back in their hippie days. Listen, what I'm saying to you is more than style, it's more than appearance. What I'm talking to you about is, why on earth are Christians so worried about what the world thinks of them? Why are you so interested in having the world's approbation? I'm telling you now, if you are ever to amount to anything for God, if your life is ever going to count for eternity, if you're ever going to be a soul winner, if you're ever going to be a servant, if you're ever going to be a prayer warrior, then the world is going to despise you and hate you. So what are you worried about? God, give us backbone. How do you get it? Man, you see such beauty in Christ. You see such attractiveness in Christ. You see such glory in Christ that you say, that's what I want to live for. That's what I want to live for. Nothing else is worth living for. Don't be worried about what the world says. What you've got to be concerned about is what the Lord says. If you're living for Him, He'll tell you, I don't condemn you.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.